Ms. Coronado, would you want to take the roll, please?
Councilmember Eugene Connors is excused. Councilmember Joan Hansen?
Here.
Councilmember Shirley Doughty?
Present.
Mayor Ron Ertley?
Present.
Councilmember Anna Klein? Councilmember Doug Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan?
Here.
City staff Justin Johnson, city manager Ashley Coronado, city clerk Sharon Bono, finance director Ann Carl, city attorney.
Thank you very much. Without objection from the council, I'm going to pull item number 2 from the agenda. Item number 1, discussion regarding a letter received by Peter Lawson regarding the Turquoise Valley Golf Course. Mr. Lawson, would you like to come up to the podium and pull the microphones down?
Or thank you.
In your case, it might be out the right place.
I'll be as brief as I can, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being here. Thank you for hearing me, counsel. And I guess if I was to start, if you all know a guy named Kevin Costner, take it back way back to the 60s, the Field of Dreams, we built it. We thought they'd come. Now forward to Tin Cup. I'm the guy who keeps hitting the balls into the water, but I sure have tried. For 18 years, my wife and I have invested everything we can. We love the city. We love the people. We have a visa issue coming up shortly. You all have a copy of a short presentation. I left you lots of room on that for notes. The long and the short of it is we're running out of money. If I want to retire and not be a dumpster diver, we have to turn the property over to whoever, hopefully local, is willing to take on this project. It's pretty much built. The business is getting better. We've never turned a profit. We, unlike many other municipal courses, have not had the benefit of prison labor. We are not a municipally funded course. In fact, it's the other way around. When I first addressed the city of Bisbee some 17 or 18 years ago, I said a real business pays taxes. We're even falling behind on our taxes. We've done everything we can to make this operation a success. I think it's a good and viable enterprise, and the world of golf is coming back. But we couldn't see what I will refer to as the perfect storm. A little trouble in Juarez, Mexico, kept a lot of winter visitors away from border communities. We had a little recession in 2008. Cochise County is coming out of it. It's getting better, but it has taken an awful long time. Out of pocket, Leslie and I have kept the operation afloat. We've done the best we can. I think it's a good and viable enterprise, but as I approach retirement and my fourth visa renewal, which is a very onerous process, sometimes upwards of 300 pages, Uncle Sam will call you to the embassy in Vancouver with less than 24 hours notice and run you through the system. You may have to check your cell phone at the door to go through this process to be admitted in the United States. So as a foreign enterprise, it's almost retirement time. I'm young and I've still got some energy, and I think the golf course has benefited from Canadian ownership, but it's no longer convenient for my wife and I to pass the financial litmus test to renew a visa. We put everything we've got into Turquoise Valley. It's a viable community asset. What I'm here for tonight is to ask your approval, along with the blessing of the Newell family. We have some representatives here who agree that it's not 1934 anymore, and the caveat that was placed on the property back then is an encumbrance which keeps potential buyers from taking over the golf course because they cannot borrow from the bank if there is that encumbrance on the title. I've called it a caveat. There's a number of names for that, but the long and the short of it is, if we can get that caveat lifted, there are a number of local parties that are interested in taking over the golf course, and we want it to stay local. We don't want. We've had some very interesting inquiries. I'll leave it at that. Thousands of emails, and we have done our best to find the right fit for Turquoise Valley for the last 5 years. And as we're coming out of the recession, things are a little brighter and a little rosier. I have three parties that are interested, but they would in turn need to perhaps get a mortgage on the property, which banks refuse to do because it must remain a golf course. What else could it be? Open space, a bird sanctuary? I have no idea. There are four caveats placed by the city of Bisbee on the title. That it would remain a golf course, that it would encumber us to turn over any artifacts of historical value which we have done as recently as a month ago. All the information from the diggers, if any of you have seen the National Geographic folks, they found some really neat stuff from the early 1900s. That is now in the hands of Becky Orozco and the Bisbee Mining and Historical Society. Our wish in the future is that that gets turned into the Camp Newell Museum when it is built. We have no problem with that one. If we find mammoth bones, of course we're going to respect that ground. We haven't found any. And last but not least, there is a water issue that comes down through the city of Bisbee on a grant. They install the water line, which hasn't worked since day one. We will, of course, agree to have the water delivered. And what's the other one I'm missing, my wife? It's the historical, it's the water, it's the... Oh, yes, and should the city of Bisbee, thank you so much. Should the city of Bisbee ever annex NACO, of course, we would have no problem with that. The power of social media these days is a pretty interesting thing. And there's a group that works around monitoring Bisbee City Council. And unfortunately, they thought I wanted to be excused from all four issues. Heck no, it's just the economics of turning the golf course over to the next party that I'm working towards. With council's blessing, if we could have that caveat removed from the title, it is now a viable enterprise for the next guy to take over. So there's the long and the short of it. On the last page of the presentation I gave you, you'll find three or four possible conclusions to my sojourn in Bisbee. The first is a really nasty one, where I could recover what money I possibly could through the sale of assets on the property, tables, chairs, equipment. There's $1.5 million of inventory sitting there. I had a ceiling of $800,000, and I've gone through the auction process twice, and nobody met the minimum. I don't know what people are thinking. I thought it was a no-brainer. But I could sell off some assets, and then it's not a golf course. And then we've got the city of Bisbee in the same predicament as, and I shouldn't say, I don't know if Douglas is still municipal, but I know Benson is. The Wilcox course has gone broke. A lot of them have closed. We don't want to see that happen for Cochise County and for the city of Bisbee. We want the course to remain open. And I think we've done a pretty good job of making it a viable enterprise. Item two, we might be able to, if the caveat was removed, we'll find a suitable buyer and the enterprise can continue. Can't do that with the title the way it is. And what was my third option? Oh, the unreserved auction. That's when yours truly, who rolled the dice so hard when I first came to Bisbee almost 20 years ago and said, holy smokes, we could get this golf course up and running. And we did make something out of it. It was a goat track. Several of the golfers that play there now who have been there said, you have done amazing things. People come from Phoenix to play the longest golf hole in Arizona, Arizona's oldest golf course. It's in great shape. It's not Pebble Beach, but we don't charge like Pebble Beach because we want golfers to enjoy themselves and have a good time. So that comes with a price tag. On an average day, you can get a round of golf in for $35 with a cart. I think it's financially feasible. When the recession hit in 2008 and 2009, we actually dropped our prices because we kept the customer base that we had then, and we did a lot of promo, even an ad in the RV magazine to attract new... Hello, Anna.
Hi.
To attract new visitors. It's got to be price conscious. This year, Canadians are facing $1.25 to a U.S. dollar. So they're sticking their neck out just coming to visit. And I think it's got to be user-friendly and affordable. And I think we've done that now for 18 years. So that being said, I'm here just to ask the council to reconsider that caveat. Turquoise Valley agreed. I agreed with the city council of the day that that was fair. At that point, we didn't know there was going to be a recession and that we built it. A lot of them didn't come. So we're at the end of our financial rope. We have to do what's right for the city of Bisbee and for the county of Cochise. And that's what I'm asking you. If we could get that stipulation lifted with the blessing of the Newell family, I think Turquoise Valley will be around for another 100 years. I think our reputation is good, and at this time, I'll entertain any questions.
First off, let me clarify. This is discussion only tonight. We will not be taking a vote. We do have a few people signed up, and I think maybe we should move to the people who are signed up next, and then we will have questions primarily from the council. So let's hear from the people who from the public that would like to talk. Mr. Peter Von Gundlach, you want to comment?
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
Thank you,
Peter Von Gundlach from Warren, 327 McLaren Avenue. I did some research on the request that was made, and my personal feeling about it was initially to say go for it, because in essence, it's obvious that it is not a going operation, and it would cost us a whole lot more if it fell back into our hands in terms of tax revenues and plus the amount of tourism that would have to be regenerated as a result of it. But after speaking to a number of citizens in Bisbee, and I talked to probably 10 about it, they all seem to think that we deserve something in return. So having been a realtor twice in Arizona and knowing the real estate laws, and having sold some fairly decent properties, there's a difference between a house sale and a land sale. Land sales generally get 10%, the realtor does anyway. And I thought to myself, well, if that's an issue and people feel that they would be shortchanged by just handing it back to the owners or removing the restrictions, why not just put a fee of 10% at the time of sale? In other words, that becomes part of the agreement, and that would free the property, and at the same time, Bisbee would get something back for it. I personally doubt you'd get more than $2 million for the property. It's probably, looking at it, probably $1.5 million in these times, and even though it's probably worth a lot more, but real estate now is in the doldrums. So in any case, it would represent between $100,000 and $150,000 to the city itself, assuming you found a buyer that was willing to go ahead under those terms and conditions. So again, I feel that could be made subject to the sale. And at that point, then the restrictions would be removed in return for a commission, in essence, like a real estate would receive of 10%. That could also be set up on a varying scale in the event that for some lucky reason you get $2.5 or $3 million for it. You could add perhaps a small additional fee for the benefit of selling it at a higher price. Anyway, that's one solution that I can offer, and that was based on interviewing a number of people. Everyone who I mentioned this to seemed to agree that was a fair solution at the time. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Donna Pulling.
Thank you, Mayor. My name is Donna Pulling, and I do live in Bisbee. And I have a couple concerns about this item being on the agenda, a special session, in the first place. I'm reading from the charter, section 2.15, dealing with special meetings. This meeting was originally scheduled as a work session, and then on Friday at 4:30, it was noticed as a special session with the addition of item number 2, discussion about the attorney, that as we come here today, we find has been withdrawn from this special session for no explanation. So this, in fact, could have still been a work session, other than the fact that none of the public was given any explanation as to why item number 2 was put on this special session meeting at 4:30 on Friday. And I'm reading from the charter that says, the mayor or mayor pro tem acting as mayor may, or at the request of 3 members of the council, shall, by giving notice thereof to all members of the council or leaving the same at their usual place of abode, call a special meeting of the council for a time not earlier than 24 hours after the notice is given. considering that the notice was given at 4:30 on Friday, you have met the 24-hour qualification for noticing. However, the next sentence says, in the case of a catastrophic emergency, a meeting may be held upon such notice, as is appropriate to the circumstances. At such meetings, business concerning only such emergency shall be acted upon. So my question remains that although I certainly understand that you are, that Mr. Larson and the Turquoise Valley Country Club is looking for some kind of resolution about the sale of their property, you're only discussing that tonight. You're not taking a vote on it. So that's not a catastrophic emergency. And you've removed item number 2 from the agenda, which may have been a catastrophic emergency. We're not sure because the public wasn't made aware of why item number 2 was even placed on the agenda in the first place. So my concern is that we are calling special meetings. You see that the attendance at this meeting is very minimal. And it's not because these items are not of great concern to the public in Bisbee. We are concerned. We want to know. We want to be involved. But when you're calling special sessions for things that are not catastrophic emergencies, or any kind of an emergency, it seems, it doesn't give me the feeling of transparency. It gives me the feeling that there's something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about, even if you've met the 24-hour noticing requirement. When this item does come up on the agenda, because I know that one of the council members is one of the employees of Turquoise Valley Country Club, I hope that that member does have the thought to recuse herself from that. No, no longer an employee.
Right.
Whoa. Sorry. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. As I mentioned earlier, this is only for discussion purposes tonight. So another quick comment. Mr. Lawson has been waiting on this for some time, and my apologies to him. I talked to him on the phone last week, and I said I will get to this as soon as I can, and I did, I believe. So and that is one of the reasons why I wanted to address this. He has been waiting for some time, and partly my fault. My apologies for that. Next speaker, Mr. Paul Tompkins.
I don't currently live in Naco, but I did up to 2 years ago, for 8 years, and neighbors with the golf course, great place, great neighbors. I mean, it's the only economic thing happening in Naco besides the bar. That's it. And that's a really big support for the community. So I really think that these restrictions are onerous on the owner, and I'd like to see them removed. But I would like to see a couple of other things included. Water is the main thing, and it's great to sell it to somebody else, but suppose they decide to come in and put in a housing development. Currently, it costs almost $50 a month for 3,000 gallons in Naco, Arizona. Anything over that is prohibitive. And then we also have the issue of Naco Sonora, because we're on the same water table. And currently in Naco Sonora, they can't keep the water pressure up. Some of that has to do with the age of their pumps, but also the depth of the wells. So there's a big concern about water, and I think that if we go ahead and take these restrictions off, I think that there has to be some restriction on water use there, or some, you know, demand that there be some, what's the word I'm looking for, examination of water usage for any further development of the land. And then I also have a concern, we have snowy egrets living in that wash, and so there's wildlife issues there. I don't think any of these are insurmountable, but I think they're very important, and I also would like to have seen somebody from Naco Brownsville here talking with you about the development of that. You know, there have been talks about having a nature walk and a bicycle trail, and, you know, it'd be nice to maybe see that if somebody else buys land and is going to do further development, that some of these things be included. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next, we have Marie Miner.
Hello. Hello, Mayor and City Council. Thank you for this opportunity. There is a problem in being able to notify the public, especially on such short notice with sessions like this. Five of the people who are here in the audience happen to be here just because we did phone calling. Some of us did some phone calling. Otherwise, that would be five less people in this room. And then you would be mostly talking to the people who have the vested interest in the decision that's going to be made. I would like to refer again to the water development, the water usage concern. If it was sold to a housing development, one, we have no particular reason for wanting to have a bunch of new houses when we have, it's been stated, a large number of houses that are completely not able to be sold, I mean, that haven't been able to be sold or that are empty. San Jose is a great example of many of the places that are not occupied. I noticed that when I was going door to door in 2012. In the future, I think in making your decision, one of the things that should be a part of it is some kind of a study on water consumption and what there is for the future. Paul, you know, mentioned to us the problem that there is already in Naco, and part of that was caused by the use of the Turquoise Valley in the past. The water level lowered, and so it made it hard for them to be able to have water. And so that's part of the reason why the cost went up, is because the water table went down. And that could be very demonstrable if we have a housing development out there. I agree with one of the comments that Peter made, and that is in terms of, I think it should be a stipulation if we do remove that section of the caveat about being a golf course, that we put a connection on that one, that we get some money back, we being the city of Bisbee, and that should be a 10% of the sale of the property at the time of the sale, so that we get back a little of our investment. I mean, we continue to send our wastewater, our treated wastewater there. And to that effect, there was one line in here that kind of confused me. It said, and the city negligently sent us water tainted with garbage that burned out one of our well pumps. Did that have something to do with the wastewater? And it would be nice to get clarification of that particular line there, because it did, you know, cost the Turquoise Valley because of that. So those are just some of the things that we some of us would like to see considered. Thank you.
Thank you. I guess I'll lead off some questions or some comments. I believe this was sold to you. Would you want to maybe come up to the podium? Not that I want to interrogate you or anything, but it might be easier that way.
We're good to go.
This was sold to you by the city in 1998, I think, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And the caveat was the council at that time wanted to preserve, in my opinion anyway, an icon in this area. And so they built that in. And I believe you mentioned in your pamphlet or your papers, you perhaps had two potential buyers that might buy it without the caveat, but they would continue the golf course. So my question is if they would want to continue with the golf course, those two potential buyers, why would it matter to them to have that caveat taken off if they're going to continue the golf course anyway?
Thank you, Mayor. You know, when you're dealing in the world of finance, banks have restrictions, and they prefer a clear title. And when an item is left to be used only as a golf course, that's a restriction, and the banks steer clear of that. No developers have approached me to do anything other than keep this a golf course. Let's get that clear. Water issues, our water table is just fine. It hasn't moved, and I would ask anyone who has an issue with the water consumption in Turquoise Valley to show me that. The pump burned up because we got crap through the pipe in the city of Bisbee with their wastewater. Mm-hmm. We burned out a pump. It took me 3 months for the city of Bisbee's insurance company to pay back that money. Who's on the hook replacing pumps from City of Bisbee water? There's more wildlife there now than there ever has been in the past. And if this guy that you're talking to, who has worked so hard for 18 years to build this little field of dreams, is not about to get it in the hands of a developer. I assure you of that. It's a golf course. It's one of the best in the state. Mm-hmm. And it's going to stay a golf course. And we want the revenue coming into this county and this city. So if it's a banking issue, back to your original question, I'm sorry. I really love the place, and I'm hurt when there's misinformation being circulated. If a developer wants to buy the thing, it's not going to be sold to a developer under my watch. If I go broke in the meantime defending every last penny I've got into it, that's what's going to happen. But the developers are not ever, in my watch, going to get a piece of Turquoise Valley, because it's a beautiful golf course without being surrounded by houses, without the additional water consumption. One more little item. We just got approved for a grant to redo our sprinkler system. It's a lot of money and it's a lot of work, but we're doing that out of pocket to replace some of the aging sprinkler heads that were installed in the 80s and the 90s, so they're more direct and more efficient in water consumption. We're not watering the road anymore. We're watering a golf course and only where the golfers are playing. So that issue can be taken off the table as well. We're doing everything we can to conserve water, and that is part of our bona fide agreement with the city of Bisbee. We're not wasting a drop. It has to be kept alive. The grass has to grow. And 18 years ago, I was asked by a council member, have you ever considered putting AstroTurf on the fairways? I'm sorry. If you want to keep the doctors busy with sports injuries, that's how you do it. But our consumption is minimal. Just in the last 6 weeks, we have replaced yet another pump and a motor, and that is over $10,000 out of pocket. That's something the taxpayers didn't have to bear the burden of. That's something we do to provide this facility for the citizens of Bisbee and Cochise County.
Let me commend you and Leslie for having this business for, what, the last 18 years. A lot of events. Matter of fact, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I went to 2 events there in one day and one evening, and lots of events. It's a real community place, actually. With lots of things happening, and so I commend you both for operating this for 18 years at high quality.
Thank you.
However, you might sell this to somebody without a caveat on them, so we would not know what would happen 5 years from now or 10 years from now. And it is indeed a historic old golf course, and the city would. It's possible that we could lose it. That golf course could be lost, not through your efforts, and I know you love it dearly, and I can tell by your passion and your voice, but we don't know what future buyers might do. I'm just expressing thoughts that I have.
I understand.
And I have not made a decision on it yet, but thoughts that I have. And so, or 10 years from now, or 20 years from now, this is not only a treasure to this area, but it is a treasure to the state of Arizona to have this golf course here. And I'm very concerned that it might be lost at some time in the future. That's my concern. You might have some words that might alleviate that concerns, and so I'm a little reluctant to take that caveat off, but I just speak for myself. I don't speak for the council, obviously.
I quite understand, and I've done everything I can to maintain its reputation and its ability to serve the public as a golf course. It's a sports facility. It's something that people need. And let's not forget, through the world of real estate, the city of Bisbee was paid $400,000 already when I bought this golf course. So city of Bisbee has had its kick at it. The city of Bisbee tried to run it. The city of Bisbee lost money, and they gave it to the next guy for $1 a year. I paid good money to the city of Bisbee for the honor of running this golf course. I've done my best. I can't speak to the future, Mr. Mayor.
I know.
I can only try and find a good buyer.
I know.
And I've been at that for 5 years now. We had some numbers thrown around earlier. I couldn't get $800,000 for a golf course and an RV park and $1.5 million worth of inventory, and there are your numbers. So if anybody thinks you're going to get $1.5 million out of that, I'm sorry. I couldn't get $800,000 for it. So this big asset to the county and the city may not be as valuable as you believe.
You might help me out because I don't remember the numbers, but I believe the... out of the $400,000 is not super pertinent, just a point of question. The county come in for some of that? Did the county grab like 150 of that? I don't remember the numbers anymore.
That was direct to the city of Bisbee.
Okay.
That was city of Bisbee property at that time.
I believe the county came in for a claim on that, but it was a long time ago, and I don't remember the numbers.
And further, after they got their $400,000, then the city said, oh, and there's a Class 6 liquor license on that facility. We'd like another $25,000 for that. I gave them all the money. Everything that the city wanted, we did.
I should have mentioned that because I
only made one small error in judgment, and that is the exit plan.
Yeah.
And I'm there now.
I'm asking a lot of questions. Any other members of the council have some questions? Council Member Dowdy.
Several or a couple of the people that stood up there where you are had mentioned housing development. And I'm curious about that. I'm concerned about that. Is that part of this property that your buyers are going to do?
No one has mentioned any housing development to me.
Okay. I'm concerned about housing development, and you're saying it's only the golf course.
Yeah, I mean, the price of housing now, why would they build something new when you can buy nice houses for $50,000 in the area?
Yes, that's
it doesn't make economic sense to me. There is some land there, but that would bring in the county. You'd have zoning applications. It would be, a very complicated process for a developer to put any housing development in the property. Mm-hmm. It's one of the great attributes of it. And the land directly to the north owned by Rosemead Properties, they are not willing to sell, quote, at this time. So that has kept the developers at bay.
To ask Mr. Lawson, would part of that actually, part of your property actually be in a floodplain? I'm kind of acceding to you, so maybe a housing development to a large part couldn't go there anyway. I mean, I don't know that.
The whole property is in a floodplain.
Okay. So, I should know more about that, but I don't. Would that certainly restrict housing? I assume it does, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's something that people that buy houses in the NACO area currently have to sign off on. They have to be aware that they are in a floodplain. I included, Mr. Mayor, with your package, a map. And if you look at Greenbush Draw running halfway through the golf course, the land to the north of Greenbush Draw is owned by Turquoise Valley, which has really nothing to do with the city of Bisbee. If this land reverted back to the city of Bisbee, you would be the proud owners of a 10-hole golf course. and there's an RV park that would not have anything to do with the city of Bisbee. You would have a half a golf course, and you'll have to get what I got. And that's what I took over some 18 years ago.
So the sale is the Turquoise Valley Country Club and the RV park as well. The whole thing, right?
It's a one package at the moment.
Yeah. And how many RVs go in there? Can you get like 100?
We have 100 sites, and we're running about 60% occupancy.
Okay. And so, my tendency is not to take that caveat off, but I'm going to speak sort of in behalf of you and the city of Bisbee. That RV park brings a lot of revenue into the city of Bisbee. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely, and that is the standalone part that's making money is the RV park.
Okay.
The business itself through the bar, the restaurant, and the golf course is not making money.
Yeah. Council Member Hanson.
I just would like a clarification, and I can't find it in my notes anyplace, but isn't the reason for the not being able to sell it is because the bank on the mortgages are not willing to extend the mortgage to the buyers? So it's not the buyers that are requesting it, it's the banks.
Correct.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure people understood that.
I haven't met these bankers myself. However, these are people that bring proposals forward. If the bank would relent and lend me the money, I could get a mortgage, and then I could take over the business, increase the rates, do some improvements, and make it a more financially viable business. That's what we would hope.
So it seems to me the bank's position would be they want those caveats off in case the buyer would default and they couldn't change it into something else. And so they could possibly end up with that golf course without a caveat on it. Does that follow?
I'm only assuming, but I think that's the way banks think.
Okay. And so if a bank owned it, we don't know what's going to happen, right?
Then it would go probably up for auction, unreserved.
Yeah.
To who? We don't know.
Right.
Who knows what the future brings?
Right. Council Member Sullivan.
So it's county property, correct? Like, it's within the county, so that would be a county zoning. So with the county, what is it zoned for, I wonder? If it was just zoned for recreation or outdoor use, or is it zoned for, I mean, if it's in a floodplain, like you said, it wouldn't be zoned for development. It's something we could look into to see what the potentials are with the current zoning.
Well, zoning codes are not necessarily carved in stone. And so someone, obviously, if it's not zoned residential, they could apply for that zoning change. And Councilmember Dunn, he's kind of an expert in planning and zoning. He was on the board for a long time. Any comments on that?
No. I'm not familiar with how it's zoned. It's county zoned, for sure.
Okay. And so it does for me anyway, it leaves a lot of questions, and it is, to me, it's an icon of the area or the community. It is a even though it's privately owned, it is a treasure that we have here, and that is my primary concern, to see that that treasure doesn't disappear. And I think probably it wouldn't. Without that caveat, somebody would buy it and operate it as a golf course, and hopefully they would make money, and hopefully they would make their bank payment. But it's no guarantee. And so that is my concern. And I want this community to keep its treasures, and it what you have is truly a treasure of this community. And it would be sad to see that disappear. And that is my concern. But I only speak for myself. I don't speak for the council. Any other?
Mayor?
Council Member Klein.
Well, first of all, I would like to commend Pete Lawson for the tremendous job that he's done down there, because it's a wonderful place, and you've done very, very well with the business. Having been on the council that had to decide whether we sell or don't sell, that was a pretty hot topic at the time, and you understand the, you know, where the, because at that time the residents were really concerned that the city had given away all their assets. So we did receive monetary, you know, for it, but I remember the really heavy and hard discussions that it remain, and that's why the caveat was included in there. And at the same time, you negotiated that 99-year lease. I mean, both parties, I guess, benefited at the time, but they were also very cautious, and there was a reason why that was done. I think those things are still going to come up as far as, you know, letting, you know, a treasure go and things like that, and because we would have no guarantee that it would remain a golf course. And I know that you would do your level best to ensure that it does stay a golf course, but when you're gone, we just don't know. And I know that, you know, I understand your dilemma. I really do. And you've done so many improvements, and you've done so well there. But you've also reaped the benefits as well. But so have the residents, you know. So I don't know. I just feel that what was in place should stay in place. And I don't know. I just know that we had some pretty serious discussions back then. And, of course, that was a while back. You know, everybody involved was a lot younger, and you don't think about aging and what you need to, you know, do as your next thing. But I think we do need to keep the agreement in place, because I think everybody entered into it, you know, in good faith and good faith. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't know. But I understand your dilemma. I really do.
And I agree, and I will do my level best as the days go by. Someone else commented that this is an emergency session. I'm leaving the country in 2 weeks. I may not get back in. So that's the financial litmus test that I referred to in your document.
Yeah, I will with staff, of course, and council, do our best to sort of make a decision on this sometime before you go. But I don't want to rush it because I want the council to think about it, including myself.
Absolutely.
I'm leaning towards, obviously, of keeping the caveat on, but I want to think about it. And I called this special session because I know you might not be here in the distant future, or in the near future you might be gone, and I would like to have that decision made before you go. And so I want the council to think about this. I think it's an extremely important decision as far as our community is concerned.
Absolutely.
And hopefully some public input on this, and council have the opportunity and time to examine their own thoughts and ideas.
Thank you. I know we've opened a can of worms. I met with the city manager in November. I met with the IBISB committee in December. We brought a note to the council in January. It's now March. Time flies, and I'm just a dumb Canadian. I don't know how politics works in the United States. But I think, you know, in 5 months, it's taken me a while to bring this issue forward. And I look forward, and I will appreciate everything the council does, whatever the decision is. You now know our position. You can think going forward that some things just don't last forever. And I'll reiterate that I'm doing my level best for the city of Bisbee to get a golf course owner, not a developer, not a water sucker, not a wildlife hater. And we want to keep this a valuable asset for the community, if at all possible. If we go to the unreserved auction process, that's going to be a whole new thing for the city attorney to deal with. And we don't want to have to do that. Mm-hmm. But that is my last reserve.
Well, Pete.
Do you have any other questions? I'm sorry.
Any other questions from the council?
We have family members from the original owners here. Can we hear from them, or is that...
If they so desire. It's up to them.
I wanted to make one point of clarification. If it doesn't stay a golf course, then it reverts back to City of Bisbee. That's what the caveat says, right? Okay.
I don't think the taxpayers are like that. I'm just saying. Would either of you like to represent the Newell family? Excuse me, Ridgeway. There's a family tree here, folks, that I can't really get my head around. But Susan, if you'd like to use the microphone, love to hear from you. Testing, testing. Yeah, there's. It's on. Don't be afraid. It's a good council. They think of the citizens. That's what they do.
That's right.
Thank you, Susan.
Okay, first of all, our family wasn't really aware of the original caveat that it would revert back to the Newell Hughes family. We were made aware of that, and we've contacted those remaining members of our family that we have been able to find, and everyone wishes it to stay a golf course, of course, but we would like to have our family part of it taken off of whatever it needs to be taken off of, so that the banks will be willing to lend the money to a new owner. Okay. So that's where we stand.
Okay. I forgot. Did you state your name? I'm doing this for the clerk's office.
I'm Susan Ridgeway.
Okay.
I am the granddaughter of Mary Newell Hughes, who donated the original 9-hole property along with her uncle, John Newell.
Yeah. Thank you. Any other final comments from the council? Council Member Hansen?
I'm not following this, I guess. I do have a question for Mr. Larson, please. If there are four caveats, correct?
Correct.
All right. The only one that you're requesting is that it remain a golf course. It being annexed back to the city has nothing to do with, or is that part of that caveat?
That is part of that caveat.
Okay.
And again, I can't speak on behalf of bankers what they look for. I think
okay.
It's an asset to any property to have that water coming from the city of Bisbee, provided it's screened and it's not blowing up pumps on the end user. I think the bank would have no concern at all with the annexation of the city, the NACO area to the city of Bisbee. Should that happen in the future? Again, we don't know what's going to happen next year or 5 years from now. And the other one, the discovery of any historical artifacts, I don't think that affects the banking end From what I've heard from the two or more, and again, I have to have confidentiality agreements in place that I can't represent who they are or exactly what their issues are. Maybe they have personal financial restrictions that they're looking at. But if they go to a bank, that's going to be the number one concern. Who really owns this property should a buyer default?
Okay. Thank you.
Does that help?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Anything else while I'm here?
Any other questions from the council? No? Oh, wait. Go ahead. Donna Pulling, I guess, has a question.
Thank you, Donna.
Mr. Larson, you've talked to the IBISB committee and a couple of other people since November. I'd just like to hear what their recommendation was, what their comments were, or did you just present to them and they didn't give you any feedback? I don't know. We have these commissions in place to kind of give some idea about
absolutely
what the research is. So are you at liberty to talk about where some of these other people that you've talked to?
Well, Mr. Lawson, come up closer, yeah.
And forgive me, Justin, I can't remember the gentleman's name of the IBISB committee.
Stan Stern.
Stan Stern. How can I forget Stan? Mm-hmm. Stan said it seems in his mind, and again, Justin, you were there, so if I speak out of turn, please correct me. He said it seems like a reasonable request, and the IBISB committee recommended that I bring it to council. So I believe I have their support.
Initially, when Mr. Lawson came and spoke to me, the request was, hey, is this something that can be done at the administrative level? And obviously my response is, no, it needs to come before mayor and council. And during that time period, we were just getting ready to get started with the election and knowing that a new council would have to be seated here pretty soon, not leaving that with the old council. Pretty much this is where we are today. And considering the IBISB committee looks at, you know, community assets, what are tools or things that may be economic, attractive economic pieces or assets in the community, as part of the reason why the IBISB committee was brought in on the conversation. And so, and you are correct in that, you know, it based on the conversation that we had, it wasn't an unreasonable request, but it was something that rests with the mayor and council.
Right. It was a tricky point in time election-wise. That's all I know at this point. If you have questions of the IBISB committee, I guess Stan Stern would be the guy to go to directly, if that helps your future discussions.
Certainly. Any other questions from the council? Marie Minor, you have a question? Come up.
I'm sorry, I might be a little dense, but Susan Ridgway, the question for you is, I'm not real clear about what portion of it that you're talking about would come back to your family. Could you clarify what that is?
That would be the original nine holes.
The original nine holes is what your answer is?
Correct.
Just that?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the council? No? We pulled item number two from the agenda. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously. This meeting is adjourned.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor.